Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
It is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Wham! October is gone and we are into November. You know what? You get up in the morning and you listen to the radio and you're hearing all these car deer accidents, and that's one sign, boys. They're chasing. They're chasing, and it's that time. You better take every opportunity you can to get out in the woods and hunt that buck. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. You're listening to Grilling Guys. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Yeah, welcome. Thanks for taking a little time out to listen to these two knuckleheads on the smokiest show on the radio. We're happy that you can listen to us this morning, because if you were trying last Saturday, you'll find that our show did not air until maybe 5 o'clock on Saturday, and we want to sincerely apologize to all those who got up and got their coffee and then started sending me bad texts about 8:15. It was a technical snafu, and we were totally unaware because we cheated last weekend, and we were not in studio, and I guess somebody overslept, and it was not Brian Fonger.
Well, and what it was, real simple, is the World Series went 18 innings, and the guy that was supposed to light up our show on Saturday morning got Drew Friday night duty, and he didn't get out of here until like 5 in the morning. So he had long overtime, and there was just a handoff issue. But we're good. We're here now. So,
and we're going to get a bunch of free commercials now. So yeah. I haven't worked that part out yet, but now you've been forewarned.
Yeah, okay.
Phil Tower, if you're listening, yeah, be ready.
So this is the Grilling Guys. I've been out deer hunting, Bob. I've been out in the tree 5 times since the last time we talked to everybody. And I passed on 2 little guys. And I decided that I'm going to try to be that guy that has 4 on a side. Now, it doesn't eat as good as the little guys, I don't think. But at least now I'm sticking to my convictions.
So you
kind of
really
like your new diet.
So you don't really want meat.
Well,
you're
I
really
do.
Hunting antlers.
I'm hunting antlers now, and then I think that the meat can come in the future if I need it. I see deer, shootable deer.
See,
every
time.
I used to
do that, and I've learned that I fail when I do that. That's why I pop a doe right off the bat, because right. I always hunt antlers, and then when it comes like, I'm striking out, then the doe are gone.
Right.
Or it's rifle season, and I never apply for a doe permit.
Right.
Which you can buy over the counter now in my area up north. Because it's got the CWD going on, and they would like want to eliminate the whole herd, and
start
it's gonna be nothing but buffalo next year,
right? But you know, that's kind of like when you were in the college and at the bar,
carnage.
Well, there was that going on then too. But you know, you got to start a little earlier. Bob is where I'm going with this.
Right.
Just don't wait till the
early.
Yeah, don't wait till the last 10 minutes, brother. Right.
I went to Fair State Carnage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Storing equipment this week. I've been getting some of the stuff ready to pack away because I'm trying to clean my driveway up after 16 and a half months of construction, getting rid of stacks of scraps and siding and soffit and fascia and all this stuff that, I mean, it looks like a trailer park, man, right now up on my property, because there's just junk everywhere. So I spent the week getting a lot of stuff. And so I took some tender loving care to my big Judge smoker and got it all cleaned up and oiled up and wrapped up and tucked into the woods a little bit, because I won't use it for another couple weeks. And it's just nice to get all that stuff out of the way. I'm hauling logs to the mill, I'm doing all this stuff there, and it's just a good time to get ready, because the snow will be here in no time, and if you don't clean up your crap right now, you're gonna have a problem.
Yep. I pulled in all the patio furniture, all the cushions, other stuff, did it all.
Yeah.
Put it away, because you know you get these nice 60-degree days, but they're few and far between now, and you're stinking dealing with it 40, 45 every day. Love it for my hunting, but not so much for sitting out on the deck and drinking a beer. But all you got to do is wear just a few more clothes.
Well,
layer up, man.
I'm keeping the Cajun and the Tech Infrared on the back deck all winter, which I do. Everything else is stowed. I don't have to worry about my silverback because Greg Brown still has it. And Brown, if you're listening, you need to bring that thing back.
Oh.
It's not yours now.
Speaking of pellet grills, I was with my nephew this last week, and he calls me up after we hang out, and he says, I really want one of those pellet grills. Can you recommend one? And I said, you know, read some reviews. Yep. On him. And
where's he live?
What, here in Grand Rapids. Yep.
Okay.
He
just
lives
go
here
to
Grand Rapids.
They
well,
got
yep,
a ton of them.
Exactly. And but he was looking for something on sale, right? Had a budget in mind.
Again, go to Garrett.
Right. So but what he ended up doing was he bought a one online. It's called a Z, like the letter Z grill, and it's a pellet grill. And they had a deal. They're American made, but they had a deal that it was 2 for 1. Right?
Wait a minute.
So he took
it's called a Z pellet grill.
Z grills. Z, the letter Z grills. Now, I've not seen it
I've
yet.
I've never heard of that.
Well, I saw them online.
And it's American made.
Yes.
You're sure?
I am. And they're.
Is your nose growing?
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. But great reviews. But, you know, on the internet, anybody can get great reviews, right? All you got to do is have your friends write them.
You just got to write them yourself.
Right. But I haven't seen it yet. So we're going to see. But it was a 2 for 1 deal. So.
How much was it?
It was $750 for 2 of them, and they're so we'll see.
That sounds pretty risky.
It does, but
and
we're
he
gonna,
got 2.
Yeah, he did.
So you got a free one?
No, I paid him half because I helped him out. But I think it might become a Christmas gift for somebody. Do you need one? No.
Well,
but,
no, you should give that old one away that I gave.
Right,
you.
But we'll see how it goes.
Getting whiskers on it.
Well, it still cooks, man.
You got that old Louisiana.
You take care of them.
Yep.
You take care of your equipment. It'll last. And, you know, you need to do maintenance. It's like you do on your car. You don't drive tires. You replace those, right?
Just what I said about putting the equipment away.
Right.
I learned from a good buddy of mine, Scott Hevelhurst, who loaned he borrowed that unit you've got. He borrowed that big chuck wagon years ago. And when he was done with it, he sprayed the whole thing down with Pam. And brought it back, and it looked beautiful. And I thought, wow, that was awful nice. He goes, yeah, I always bring things back better, and I got them.
Right.
And I thought, what a great idea. And it's Pam, so when you fire it up, it's just cooking oil.
Right.
But guess what? Oil is oil.
Right.
It protects the outside.
Right.
Ever since then, I've used it. So even grilling guys can learn from their audience
and
that, buddies.
The grill you're talking about is a big old iron horse. I mean, it's just a big hunk
of iron.
It's
now on your lawn.
Right, yep. And I tore it down last winter. Down to the frame and repainted everything. I didn't touch the inside, though. I did the outside, everything that's exposed to the weather, and I keep it covered, but it still draws moisture, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's outside.
It's steel.
But at the end of the day, where I was going is if you're going to clean one out or you're going to rehab one, like I did, don't do the cooking chamber. Stay out of the cooking chamber with paint. Stay out of there with oils and cleaners.
You don't want mineral spirits in your oven?
I don't think I do. And but it'll leave a lingering flavor and a lingering smell.
That first cook will give you a buzz,
right? And it'll transfer to what you're making. And I still just don't like to have any chemicals inside of my cooking chamber.
So you've never power washed the inside?
I have.
I do that,
but with water only.
Yes.
I don't do it with any chemical.
If you need a power washer, I've got one.
We do, don't we? Yeah. This is don't go down that road because I'm going to lose on that. I've got more of your grilling equipment than you've got in my power washer.
Okay, that's
I guarantee.
All right. I still like hanging on to it.
Yeah.
So we are happy to be broadcasting right now from our beautiful iHeart studio with the captain, the wizard of the big board, Brian Fonger, in control, trying to make us sound better than we really are. And we're sipping on a beautiful, beautiful little IPA, a double IPA. And it came from a place called Railtown, and it's the first brewery to ever operate from a locomotive, I think. Isn't that the case?
Right, yeah.
And anyway,
we'll find out more about that in a minute.
In the next segment, Justin Buter, one of the co-founders, is here with us, and we're going to talk about a little fall fusion going on at Railtown. So that's it, Jop.
You know, we've got another great beer sponsor that's been with us since we started, and that's Schmoe's Brewery. And they've done a little expansion. They're up doing a joint effort with Mancino's Pizza in Petoskey,
what a cool
Michigan.
Venue.
It's a cool little venue they've got going on there. And today and tomorrow, they've got a fall open house where they've got some special brews that they put together. And I've been told by Chaz, the baritone of beer, that pints are half off. So if you're in the Petoskey area, get over to Mancino's and have yourself a Schmoe's. It's Railtown Brewery coming up next. Stick with us.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the November 3rd edition. Wow. Where did October go? Seems like we just started bow season and we're already a month in, but if it's your thing, man, now is the time. It is prime where I'm hunting anyway. Time of year, but I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. You are listening, Grilling Guys. What's cooking, man?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Before we get going with our special guest here today, I just want to say something. I need to give a shout out to my bride because I've been complaining about this 16-month building project, and it's only 16 months because I decided to do so much myself.
Right.
I mean, I asked for it. I shouldn't bitch. But here's the deal. This girl has learned how to do almost every job you could imagine on a job site. She has got the gumption and fortitude. She can tile. She now can do cove molding 45s, mm-hmm. which is a bitch.
It's a compound miter.
And we were making box shelves the other night, and I just wanted to give a little shout out there to all the ladies in the crowd that helped their husbands around the house or husbands who helped their wives around the house, tit for tat.
Right. You got one more big project, though, brother. We're going to be bringing those cabinets to you here in a couple weeks.
Oh.
And then we'll get those hung.
Guess what I'm going to become?
My best buddy? Because
you want
me to
hanger.
Right.
No, I got my buddy, my cousin coming in from Detroit.
Okay.
He's got a cabinet shop over there.
Well, there you go.
Mike Butler. You'll have to meet him.
Right.
And he loves the Smyrna.
Even better.
He loves the Smyrna bar. So I'm taking him there after we hang the cabinet.
I would say after, not before. Right. Plum and Square doesn't go good with craft beer. Speaking of which, right, Justin has joined us from Railtown Brewing. Hey, how you doing, Justin?
Doing real well. Thanks for having us on today.
Well, thanks for making time, brother. Give us a little history of Railtown. Where you at? What you doing? This is not your first rodeo with us, and we're glad to have you back. But
let me preset this.
Okay.
Okay. When we first got rolling, we had a producer named Adam.
Right.
And Adam was like a lackey at Railtown. That's how we knew they were coming on. He was one of their brewer's assistants, kind of deal like that. Great kid. And he turned us on to Railtown right when they opened up. So.
Yep.
We've kind of had you on the radar for quite a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a long and short 4 years, so it depends on how you look at it. We'll be 4 years old here in December. We just moved into a brand-new facility. Spent 3 years in a strip mall and just built a brand-new facility, full kitchen, brand-new tap room, brand-new brew house. So it's been a very, very busy year for us.
So you are the the incarnation of a dream, right? You guys, you and a buddy, decided that you wanted to start a brewery, right?
Two software guys that decided to follow their dream and make beer. Yeah.
Your partner's name is Jim.
It is. Jim with a G.
Yep. Jim with a G. Right. He's a double G.
Right. Jim Lee.
Lowercase G.
Is his name. But anyway, so how's that journey been? I mean, I don't need all the gory details, but you know what? There's a whole lot of our listeners that love craft beer, and there's a subset of those that actually make really good homebrewed beer. And we've been to those festivals. Now, did you guys take that track? Had you been home brewers before you decided to go big time, or how'd that work?
Yeah, we were basically home brewers for 4 or 5 years before we decided to open up. Fell in love with the process and just kept following the dream. So I think pretty much every home brewer at some point says, I want to open a brewery.
Well, I think to reverse that, I think every brewer was a home brewer at first, because you don't just walk into a big operation and go, hey, let me play with that there thing.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, well, I appreciate the question.
Yeah.
I just had to mock you.
Well, I understand. And our listeners are used to it by now, so it's no big deal. Wasn't completely unexpected. But anyway, Justin, so you homebrewed for a while, and what was the impetus to say we're ready to go into our own deal?
It was kind of a bad day at work, really.
There you go.
We had talked about opening a brewery, Jim and I, for a couple of years before that, and you know, it just finally was the right time. You know, we were both frustrated with the jobs we were in.
And what were you doing?
I was doing web-based software. He was doing enterprise software, so more kind of ERP system type stuff.
Okay.
So,
do you know what that is?
I do. I operate one every day,
and it's
the bane of my
existence.
So I'd much rather talk about beer. Okay,
yeah,
I get that part.
And that was kind of our viewpoint, right? I mean, we spend every day working on something we don't necessarily love doing.
Staring at a computer screen too.
Yeah.
That's not good for you.
Who doesn't want to make and drink beer every day, right?
Right.
So I mean, this is what we get to do. You know, we're here on your show. This is work for me. It's a blast, man. We're living the dream.
Good. Good. So Railtown started in a strip mall.
We did, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we were one of those strip mall breweries.
How many taps did you start out with?
We started out with 5 taps and quickly moved to 10.
Right. And where are you at today?
We've got 16 taps. We've got about 9 of them full. So
okay.
It's been a process.
Problems just keeping them full, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah, that means you're making good beer.
We got down to 2 beers in August. That was kind of a scary time. And we've rallied quite a bit since then. So we got 9 or 10 on for the most part right now.
So how big is your brew house?
So we moved up from a really tiny 3-barrel system. We're up to a 7-barrel system now. So it's not huge, but it's considerably larger than what we were working on.
Still tough to keep up with a 7-barrel.
Absolutely.
Do you wish you would have jumped up more?
No, it's tough to keep the beer cold. So that's our biggest issue is keg storage. So
really?
We're in a good spot right now. We can keep a lot of variety up with a smaller system, which is what we like to do.
And 7 barrels is like 14 half barrels, which is what
you're
typically putting it
good
in.
Good math.
Right?
That was quick math,
that's,
too.
That's Bob math right there if you're listening. Write that down.
No, but you're typically storing in a half barrel, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so 14, that's a pretty good chunk of space.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm saying.
And so then if you multiply it by a number of flavors.
Exactly.
Right?
So if we're trying to keep 16 taps open times 14, quick math there is, 150 roughly kegs.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's a lot of space.
That's a lot of kegs.
So you got a pretty big cooler.
We got a pretty big one. It's good enough for about 10 to 12 taps. So
now, are you allowed to send that to restaurants?
Yeah, so we self-distribute in Kent County. We had about 20 or so accounts before we opened the new place, and we've been kind of rallying back with getting our beer stock up. So
right.
You'll start seeing us around town a lot more
in the next
couple months.
Yeah, you don't need to bring it out somewhere if your tap room's empty.
That's correct.
So you figured that one out.
We just want to sell beer. We don't really care where we sell it.
You
exactly.
make more in your tap room anyway. I mean,
exactly. The
margins
are much better.
I watched Founders when they developed, and the brilliance to their scheme was after they, you know, near-death experience. They were ready to go under at one point in time, and then they came out with Dirty Bastard, another story. But they built this new facility, and they put a gigantic tap room in. Why? Because it's $5 a glass instead of, what, $1.30 wholesale you sell a bottle of beer for? I mean, it's like, this is too simple.
Yep.
Jop could crunch the numbers faster.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I like your math, though, Bob. You know what? 7 barrels, half barrels, we got 14 barrels in there. I get it, right? Easy enough. Easy enough. So, Justin, you've obviously got beer that's popular. What do you lead with?
So, I mean, our big flagship is Citra Warrior. That's
you're
a double IP.
It.
That's what
I
we're
understand.
Drinking right now.
Right.
So that one's kind of led the way since day one. It was a beer that we had on tap the first day. It's a beer that we've continued to have on tap since then.
I can see why. It is so stellar.
So describe,
describe this one. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big double IPA, a little over 9%, a little over 100 IBUs. Typically, you're going to think that's a pretty bitter beer, but this has quite a bit of sweetness in the finish, so it really balances out the high amount of hops, high alcohol. Drinks really, really smooth.
From dangerous other brewers, from other brewers out there, what are your top three favorites?
Of not our beers?
Yeah.
Whew. I really like Night Fury from Witch's Hat. We were talking about them a little bit before the segment. They make some great beer over there. It's dark beer season, so I'm going to kind of go on a dark beer kick. But Flying Buffalo from Griffin Claw.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
Absolutely. Those guys are just another mind blower.
Absolutely. And then I'm always a sucker for, you know, some good barrel-aged beers. So KBS, CBS.
Yeah, I'm not so big
anything
on
in
that.
A barrel.
Not so big on the that just KBS does nothing for me. I've tried, but I can't dig it. CEO Stout from Right Brain?
I've had. Yep.
I love it.
A lot of variants to that one,
love
too.
It. Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
We've got to take a break, and we're supposed to be talking about Steelhead next segment. But,
beer's just as good. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale. Or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are better made.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
With The Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the potty, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you get an opportunity to get out and fire up a grill or a smoker in your backyard and, you know, create some grill envy in your neighborhood because there's still a ton of time, man. If you're going to Real Deer Camp rather than a class reunion like I went to a month ago, you can still bring a grill along. It's a great time to fire up a little food and make it happen. And, love this time of year. Love that little snap in the air. You know, it's high 45, 50 degrees. You can wear a flannel shirt and a vest. Be comfortable. That's living in my world.
It's like the ultimate garb, dude.
Right.
Okay? That is like my favorite if you talk about a wardrobe,
right?
If I had nothing but Stormy Cromer flannel and my nice puffy Columbia and all those nice vests, I don't need anything else. I don't care about skinny jeans or these little.
You don't care about them, or you can't fit in them. Which is it? I know which it is for me.
I think you're just trying to get on the last nerve I have left. Let's talk
when you came into the studio today and you said, "Hey, I'm on a new diet. I've been on it 3 days and I lost 9 pounds." I'm like, "Come on! Oh, that's right. I invited a brewer in today.
Yeah, totally whacked it.
450 calories per glass.
Why do you have to reveal me over the airwaves?" So anyway, that wasn't intended for public, but thank you. Steelhead on the grill.
Okay, hey, that's healthy. Yeah,
it is.
I know,
and they're not quite. I'm heading up to the woods right now after the show, and I took a little time off. I'm going to go do a 4-day hunt.
Time to do it.
And then I got another one coming. Headed to see the Indianapolis Colts. We've got a suite. Carrier has a suite down in Indianapolis, so we're taking a bunch of dealers down there to see the Colts right before rifle opener. As soon as I get back, and my wife doesn't know this yet. As soon as I get back. I'm leaving for an extended hunt back up to Whipple Lake. So that'll be my third hunt of the year.
It's good to be Bob.
It is.
It's good to be Bob.
It's good to have vacation time. Yeah. But so while I'm up there on that trip, I'm going to do a little steelhead fishing on the PM because I'm near the Pier Marquette, which is in western Michigan, depending on where you're listening from. And it's the trout mecca of the Midwest. And steelhead is probably one of the greatest meats in the world. Right up there with swordfish, mahi-mahi, which is Portuguese dolphin, perch, and
walleye,
I'm going to say yellowfin tuna.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So what are you going to do with the steelhead?
Well, I want to see what kind of beer we would pair with it first because steelhead is such a versatile protein. And such a beautiful chunk of meat that you can cook it so many ways. But what are we going to try here?
So you've got a diet-busting peanut butter cocoa time in front of you.
Shoot. I'm going to swear.
So peanut butter cocoa time, is the name indicative of what's in it?
Absolutely.
Is it T-H-Y-M-E?
It is not.
There's no time in it?
Nope. None of that green stuff.
Because that go with steelhead.
And cocoa is not coconut, but a chocolate.
Correct.
So this is a Reese's Cup. In a beer.
More or less, it's like a dark chocolate.
Why didn't you say so?
Dark chocolate peanut butter cup.
Right. So, it's got a foamy head on it. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Did you try it?
Yeah. Look, it's all over my mustache. It's all over yours too, right? but anyway, yeah, it's got this frothy head on it. Describe it for us. What is it?
So it's an Imperial Porter by style. We got the peanut butter and the cocoa in there. Literally drinks like a dark chocolate peanut butter cup.
Imperial Porter.
Imperial Porter. So you got some of those roasty chocolate notes to it. Big, dark, creamy. Everything you want a good dark beer to be.
I'm just thinking after a glass of this, I won't even be able to say Imperial Porter.
Right.
That's not an easy one.
So what's the ABV on this?
ABV is about 8.5.
Oh, okay. That's...
So you step back. We went from 9.5 to 8.5. Right, yeah.
Taking it down a notch.
Right, yeah.
That's like a Miller Lite.
So you serve this... closer to room temperature, or do you usually serve it real cold?
We usually serve about 45 degrees.
Okay.
So dark beers you typically want around 45 to 50. Yeah. Right? A little bit warmer than some of the lighter
beers. I
lean
to the 50. When I'm at deer camp, like this time of year, it's just perfect because you leave it outside and it's 45 to 50, your beer's perfect.
Exactly.
If you're drinking a heavier beer especially, like I tend to bring up, I think, some Scotch ales and some double IPAs. I don't bring up any, my buddy Ted... He likes to bring up a maintenance beer. And I'd just as soon just sip on a beer as to have to drink, 10 of them.
I'm on quality, not quantity when I'm up on that. Because you know what? I don't want to be tipped over. I want to have my wits about me. And
this is funny because this guy's tipped over with me several times.
Right.
But you know, the cool thing is when I first started hunting with Jop 10 years ago, he was Labatt's Blue Light guy.
I was, and I hated craft beer.
And he had this beautiful house up on a lake, and I visited him like one of the first times and went down. He had this gorgeous bar, and he takes me down to show me his bar, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this house is like a mansion. And he opens up his refrigerator, and it's just stocked with beer. And he goes, you like Labatt's or Labatt's Light? And I'm like, and he goes, well, I got some of this microbrew stuff somebody left here. Let's see, what's this one? It's an Oberon. I go, I'll take it. And then our friendship began there.
Right.
And now, would you drink a Labatt?
It doesn't cross the end of my driveway. I'm just going to tell you that.
See,
right
the
now.
Conversion began.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm an ambassador for the microbrew.
And I will give you all the due credit there, because you introduced me to and exposed me to a whole new side of life that I was unfamiliar with, and now it's one of the things I enjoy the most.
So funny,
right?
Because I think it was when I wrinkled my nose when he offered me a Labatt's Light, and it's like, okay, it couldn't get worse. You had to make it light,
right? Exactly.
Like, why don't you just
less
say
flavor?
Bud Light?
You know what? And I kidded myself with that, because back in the day they made those big oil cans like Foster's did. And my whole novelty thing was, it's time for an oil change.
Oh, yeah. Could
you sit down and drink six of those in a day?
Yes.
Right? And change your oil throughout the day. Well, all you did is you rented it, man. You were making a run to the bathroom every 15 minutes when you were doing that. And it's like, nah, this is just not doing it.
So let's talk a little steelhead on the grill. Right. My favorite way to do steelhead, back in the day, I used to go on the Red Boat in Grand Haven. And this captain that owned the Red Boat, Captain Bill, I can't remember his name anymore, but he would catch steelhead, we would catch, and he would fillet them right while we were fishing.
Mm-hmm.
On the stern, he had a big polymer cutting board. He'd gut them out. He'd cut that little mud vein out. He'd fillet them. He'd cube them. He'd roll them in Progressive breadcrumbs.
Progresso, yep.
Yeah, Progressive. Yep. It's the insurance breadcrumb.
Three different levels of breadcrumbs and a progressive roll. Is that what we're talking
and
about?
And then he'd throw them in a little Fry Daddy. He had a generator on the boat. He'd fire it up, throw it in the Fry Daddy, and then just fry them just a little bit. Not like kill them.
Right.
Just nicely. Like Big Paulie would say, just nice. And then he'd put some Mrs. Grass and some lemon pepper on them. And, oh, my gosh. It was like crack, man. We would just eat those. Yes, I said crack.
Oh, I thought you said grass. I thought you meant Mrs. Dash, not Mrs. Grass. But is there a seasoning?
Oh, that's a soup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mrs. Dash. I don't even use it anymore. But that's what he would throw on it.
Sounds good.
Mrs. Grass.
And it was good, right? Right off the back of the boat. I mean, you're right. You're never going to eat anything more fresh than right out of the lake like that. And you can't tell me that that isn't a better way to do it than letting it sit in your fridge 3 or 4 days before you cook it up.
But now if you catch a steelhead right now, you can just fillet it.
Right.
What would you do to it?
Same thing. I like grilling them in direct heat. You know what? It's almost a poach that you do with them, but it just keeps it moist. And I like to let the fish do the talking.
What are you going to season it with?
Well, I just want lemon and butter on steelhead. I think it's that good. I don't need to cover it with a bunch of seasonings. You can put a profile on it if you like that. But to me, just the lemon wedges, or the lemon slices, rather, and a few pats of butter, and let that stuff on the indirect side of my grill, close the lid, and you can tell when it's done. It'll flake away, right? But it's just, I like to let the fish do the work.
I'm going
to
add one thing.
Okay.
Coarse ground black pepper and some thyme.
Yep.
Fresh thyme.
Michelle doesn't enjoy that pepper flavor. That spiciness on the back of your tongue, that slows her down. But
yeah, that's okay.
Anyway, coming up next, maybe we'll get better if we roast your pumpkin. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. Sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Sorry about all the nonsense. The microbrewed beer is starting to talk more than Barbecue Bob, I guess. But anyway, let's get back to the show plan if we can. We still have Justin here with us, so we will take a tangent, I promise you. But right now, Bob, I see on our show plan you've put something called Roasting Pumpkins. Is that the newest rock band, or is that a process?
No, we're not going to smash them. We're going to roast them.
Okay.
But let's kind of finish up on the steelhead because I find
Here's the diversion.
I find steelhead much more exciting than pumpkin.
Okay, man.
Although I do love pumpkin, steelhead trumps so many things.
Right. How do we smoke it? This is a Grilling Guys show.
As I alliterated earlier.
This is a Grilling Guys show. Smoke a piece of that
for
me.
That's exactly what I want to talk about. Well, you have to roll it rather loosely.
Right. And make sure you don't squeeze too hard to break the paper, right?
That's right. Yeah. So I'm not going to brine it too much.
Okay.
If it's fresh. If I pull it out of the freezer, I'm going to throw it in brine, maybe for 12 hours, but not much. And then just like a salmon, I'm going to let it dry on the countertop for an hour or two and form a pellicle.
Okay. For those that don't know, what is pellicle?
Pellicle is just this weird scummy varnish that forms on a fish when you leave it on the counter.
Right.
But you do that, and it doesn't allow it to absorb too much smoke. So when I smoke it, I'm not going to throw flavor wood on it. I'm going to use a good charcoal, and I'm just going to get the smoke from that good charcoal on it and just lightly bake it with a little bit of smoke.
That pellicle's not a bad thing, right? It's actually a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Right. And that's what I wanted. That's why I wanted to explore it for just a second, because somebody would say, oh, my gosh, look at that white – kind of, it's almost like a creamy film that forms over top of the fish after you've left it on your counter for an hour. That's a good thing, guys. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
That's
because
what happens.
It's a protective coating, and it's going to keep that from getting way too smoky. Fish is delicate. It's a very delicate flesh, and it will absorb a lot of smoke unless that pellicle's there. So just important, but carry on.
I think you're delicate.
Yeah, I am. I am, right. Don't be touching my pellicle.
So, wow. Okay, no more porter for him.
Right.
So I'm going to probably smoke that thing with just a real light seasoning. I'm going to go with some crushed black pepper and some kosher salt. Put a little kosher salt on it and probably some slices of lemon. And that's all I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Maybe again, back to the thyme again, a little bit of thyme. No garlic, nothing like that. Again, it's a really light meat. You don't want to influence it with aromatics too much.
Right. Yep. It's fantastic.
I don't anyway.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you completely.
And
a good microbrewed beer from our friends at Railtown would pair with that, more the IPA probably than this porter than we're into. But yeah, that would be great little side with that.
So we're supposed to be talking about roasting pumpkins. We'll do that some other time.
Okay.
Maybe I'll bring some roasted pumpkin.
How about
in.
My pheasant? Can I get
I
want
to talk about your pheasant.
Okay. Right. Well, this is the time of year.
Because you're an upland bird guy.
I am. This is the time of year. So I was just going to say, if you're a bird hunter, this is it. You had the 20th of October through the 10th of November. We're square in the middle of that right now, where if you're a pheasant hunter, you might be fortunate enough to find some indigenous birds, but a lot of guys have to go to a farm where they plant them because there's just not a lot of them around. But if you're fortunate enough to not have to go to a farm, you can only get two a day, right? But if you go to a farm where they're planting the birds, you can get a bunch of them, and that's where this recipe came from, is that this was for 10 birds, right? And a pheasant, you take them whole. A lot of times you only eat the breast meat, but we're going to go with the whole bird. And the key to this whole thing, and I'm going to shorten this up a little bit, is brining the birds, okay? A brine is a solution that you're going to soak the meat in to try to drive some moisture into that very lean piece of meat. when you clean a pheasant, it's going to be super lean, and it's going to dry out when you cook it.
So you're going to skin it?
Yeah. Yep.
Why?
Yeah. Because it's a giant pain in the
bitch to pluck
to pluck them, right?
There's got
to
be a tool for that.
Well, I'm sure there
Black
is.
Black & Decker?
But
no pheasant plucker?
No. No. Pheasant what?
Pheasant plucker.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
that was with
be,
a P.
That could be dangerous,
plucker.
Couldn't it?
Right. But
pheasant
anyway.
Plucker, it's like a mold.
Get me back. Get me back to the brine. Holy craft beer tangent. The brine. Super
it's
simple.
The peanut butter.
Brines are, this one is 2 gallons of unsweetened apple juice. Okay. 2 cups of table salt, no iodine. Right.
Gosh, how many pheasant are you putting
10.
In that thing?
10.
2 gallons.
Listen up, man.
Jeez.
I told you we're going to do 10. And then a cup of brown sugar and, much to Bob's love, a tablespoon of fresh ground black pepper. And we're going to put those simple ingredients, unsweetened apple juice, table salt, brown sugar, and pepper. And we're going to heat that up to dissolve the sugars in there, right, and the salt. And then you're going to cool it back down. And you're going to put the birds in this.
So you want to make this brine up, like, I'm saying 4 to 6 hours before you're going to use it.
Exactly.
Because you got to throw it in a pretty good-sized fridge to cool down 2 gallons.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And you want to get it to about 40 degrees.
Right.
And you don't put the birds in the brine until the brine is cold.
Right.
Right? But then you're going to leave those things in there for overnight, 12 hours.
At least.
Right? And then when you pull them out, we're going to wrap them in bacon. We're going to put them on the smoker, and we're going to bring that breast meat up to about 145 degrees. That's the thickest part of the bird. You do not need to overcook this.
And why is that?
Well, it dries out, man. You're going to be eating hockey
reason?
Pucks. Well, it's
hockey
game.
Pucks.
It's game, and it's not going. You don't need to cook
it's
it.
It's not like farm-raised chicken where right. you USDA applies.
Right.
This is God's gift to hunters. And you can eat it raw probably if you want to and not even worry about
yep, that's another
trichinosis.
Recipe, right? That's another recipe. But after it's been in that brine, you'll know when – and use thin-cut bacon, not thick but thin when you wrap it. It's going to keep a little moisture in it. When it renders, it's going to give a little bit of flavor into that bird. But and then when that bacon is done and it's not crispy but it's cooked, you can tell. It's shrunk down and it's kind of sucked up against the bird. If you will, you'll know that's done, but use your thermometer, get to 145 degrees, and then pull those things off, let them rest. And I pull the bacon off and set it aside. And really a pheasant, the best part of the bird is the breast, right? There's very little meat on the thigh, a little bit, but anywhere else, don't bother with it. It's the breast meat. Filet that off, do it in little medallions, and then take a piece of that bacon and cut it into little chunks and set a piece of that bacon on top of each of those medallions. And just serve that with a toothpick, and it is.
So are you saying there's no future for pheasant ribs?
There is no future for pheasant ribs. I'm not sure there was much for the chicken ribs that we did last week, but
hey, there is
that guy.
That's
going to
be no.
Right.
Hey, you had him on your show. He must be good.
I understand. He's on the Board of Exchange, Joe. He sells commodities, which are chickens, right? I get it.
Not pheasants.
Right, not pheasants.
I sat on the pheasant Board of Exchange. So I think we got to remember our – speaking of pheasant, got to remember our friends up at Tails of Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great hunting camp for
We haven't done that in a couple
north.
Years, Bob. We
know,
need to get back up there.
They keep bugging me to go.
We got to get back up
we
there.
We do.
That was a cool
and,
thing.
And Tails of Wagon is for veterans and disabled veterans. It's up around, what, Manton? No.
Yes. Yep.
Is it Manton?
That's where it was, yeah.
Yeah. So it's in northern Michigan. Fantastic group of guys who – big hearts that help veterans and – guys suffering from PTSD and whatever, or just regular vets like me, guys that are just fat and lazy that want to get out and hunt some pheasants.
Right.
They've got hundreds and hundreds of pheasants there. But I just want to say that this recipe Jop's talking about, it's really cool. If you have a buddy, like I did, give you a pheasant, do this recipe because we've done this for several years in a row now, and I was in Wisconsin years ago, and I ran into a guy who podcasts our show over there, and he brought me your pheasant recipe,
mm-hmm.
and we ate them cold out of his cooler.
Sure.
Dude.
Yeah.
To
great,
die
man.
For.
I'm telling
fantastic.
You, that unsweetened apple juice on there is just perfect.
And I've
perfect
never been compliment. I hunted goose and duck and pheasant and stuff when I was a kid, but you know, I just never had a lot of success, and I never had a whole lot of game to deal with, and I'm sure my mom cooked it back then, didn't really care. But we had a pheasant that hung out around our house up by the Muskegon River where I grew up, up in between Reed City and Everett, Michigan.
Right.
And we had this pheasant that chased my mom out of the garden more than once. And one day I'm laying under our riding lawnmower changing the blades. I'm pulling the blades off to sharpen them. And I see these chicken legs next to it. And I'm like, what the heck? We don't even have chickens. And I'm like in flip-flops and shorts and a T-shirt out there. And I sit up, and here comes this big cock pheasant.
Right.
And he rears up his wings, and he starts hissing at me. I about crap my pants running backwards.
You run like a schoolgirl in your flip-flops?
Yes. Trying to get on my feet.
Hey, you can find this recipe on thegrillingguys.com. Just go on there and hit the search bar and do pheasant recipe, and it'll be there because I just touched on what you really need to do, and it's all spelled out there for you.
And
but
it's good.
It is worth it's worth the effort. It's, you know, plan for tomorrow's cook today by doing your brine and stuff. But coming up next, we might jump back with Justin and talk about picking the right beverage for your fall grilling. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Today's man law is, again, carefully picked and totally truthful, or at least my opinion. No man shall wear a beret unless it's for his military service.
Word. That's where I'm at with that. I agree. I can wear a lot of things. Berets, not me. But you know what? I'm sure it's wrong.
It's man law. It's just law.
Man law. That's it. That's it right there.
You'll get more than your card punched for that one.
Justin, I think we've talked to you two or three times now throughout this show, and we've not talked about where Railtown is and how somebody could find it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're
that'd be good to know,
right?
Yeah,
we're going to go there as soon as we're done here.
We're just north of Caledonia in a tiny little town called Dutton, which is right off 68th Street between M37 and 131
in Grand Rapids, Michigan,
southeast suburbs of Grand Rapids.
Okay, so you said you just moved into a new building. Why? What's new?
Yeah, we basically outgrew our old space. We didn't have a kitchen before, so we've got a full kitchen now, serving lunch and dinner.
They're 4 years old, and they built a building.
Right. So what's that? Yeah, selling beer. Huh?
Not too bad.
We missed out something.
The beer had to be pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, actually, it is.
Yeah, it's really good. So if I want to take my favorite lady down, what can I see on your menu?
Yeah, we got some comfort food staples, mac and cheese, tacos, burgers. I definitely recommend like the pork belly tacos.
Do you cook at all?
I'm far from a cook. You don't want to see me in a kitchen.
So who does your pork belly tacos?
We've got a full staff that takes care of that for you. My partner, Jim, is the guy that's really in charge of kind of the creative side of the menu.
How do you prepare that pork belly?
That's a great question. I have no idea what to tell you, but I can tell you it's delicious.
Cube it and deep fry?
I don't believe it's deep fried. So I know that much. I know it's
give
delicious.
The guy a break.
It's my favorite taco.
He's the marketing guy. He's not the cook.
I'm the beer guy.
He said pork belly.
What do you want? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Come on.
There's a guy who's on a diet. He hears pork belly. He can't.
Skinny Bob over here.
Those are peanut butter porter, doesn't it? Peanut butter pork belly.
Keep your fingers back. He's hungry. Yeah. So hours, what's that look like?
11:30 to midnight, Monday through Saturday.
Okay, great. No Sundays, right?
No Sundays.
Perfect. Okay, take a
so
day off.
So there's your classic example of why Michigan's so cool. And maybe the whole country for that is we have the opportunity to, I don't know, how old are you? 35?
34.
34. Just a baby.
Right.
So he's 30 years old, starts brewing beer, has the opportunity to just make money like that on something that people want. He's providing a service so he can hone his skills and become as good as he can be. I mean, where else in the world do you see any kind of opportunity like that? It's a great country.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful.
Right.
The freedoms we have.
And you obviously are doing really well with it, or you wouldn't be having the success that you're having,
right? You wouldn't
right?
be building a building.
Right.
The bank wouldn't take a chance on it.
Right. And that's cool, man. I mean, good for you. Hats off
Thank
to you,
you
even
Thank
though
you.
We didn't get hats today. Hats off to
so you.
You
we'll
brought,
work on that next time.
You brought some of these growlers to the bank. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how you start that conversation.
How much do you need?
He's an expert negotiator as well. Yeah, right. But
Railtown anyway. Brewing Company.
Yeah. Go check awesome. It out. Go check it out. Obviously, we've had a little bit of fun enjoying his brew, and you can too. Get down there in Dutton, Michigan, and make that happen.
And don't forget to check us out at thegrillinguys.com / thegrillinguys on Facebook. And I'm on Twitter at grillinguy, even though I post very little. I just throw some pictures of some great food up there right. once in a while. But check out our website, because if you missed last week's show because some guy slept in because he worked too hard, you can get that show right on the front page. You can get any show on our website because we catalog every show we do.
Perfect. Hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in each week. If you're up in a tree, you're doing a little bow hunting, be safe and bring your safety net. We'll talk with you.